Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 11. Last week, we talked about Exodus chapter 10, and we talked about the plague of darkness that's come. So the Israelites are coming out of Egypt here soon, and God is delivering them from their slavery. It's been 400 years, a little over. They've been in slavery. They're coming out of that slavery, and the Lord is delivering them. Lots of themes are happening in this book of Exodus so far. And it's really, really important to understand that though the Israelites know who God is generally, for 400 years they have not heard his voice. Now Moses has come on the scene, and Moses is leading them and instructing them, and they're seeing God's power, and they're sort of being introduced to their God. So they know who the Lord is. They've been following him sort of generally. They're distinct from the Egyptians because they're definitely a different people. But they don't fully know who God is yet. And they're being introduced to him through power. They're also being introduced to him through judgment, which is a big thing. It's difficult for us in our Western mind to understand this idea of judgment because it feels very unfair. It feels very unfair that God is judging the Egyptians. Now, they have their own sin, and he's judging their sin. They have done things against God, and that's true. Also, the Lord is using this story to not only introduce himself to the Israelites, but introduce himself to us and world history. And what I want you to get as we look at this in preparation for next week, when we're all kind of back together again and we can continue on looking at the Passover, is God is going to tell them this horrible thing is coming, which is the last plague. And there's a response that's required from that, that the Egyptians and some of the Israelites even don't do. And I'm saying that because the Israelite people also, as they're being introduced to God, have to respond in this plague. There's something that they need to do. They're not just sort of insulated by their on their own. And God's using that to foreshadow that Jesus is going to come and deliver us. Because just as God is delivering the people of Israel from slavery to Egypt, he's foreshadowing in this deliverance that he's going to deliver his people, the church, from slavery to sin. And the way that that's going to happen, and God's judgment that will come on sin, is going to go through, we're going to find out in this last plague, the firstborn. And it's showing us that Jesus is going to come to us, he's going to save us, and he's going to be our Passover lamb, to kind of speed things up. And so we do not have deliverance from our slavery to sin without God's wrath on sin being poured out. The good news is God pours that out onto Jesus and not onto us. Incredible. So let's read together Exodus chapter 11. We're going to start at verse 1. Are you ready? Here's what it says. The Lord said to Moses, "Yet one plague more I will bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will drive you away completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people, that they ask every man his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor for silver and gold jewelry. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people." Let me read that to you one more time. Moreover, verse 3, "And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people." So Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and the firstborn of all the cattle. Their land shall be a very great cry throughout their," verse 6. "There shall be a very great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as has never been nor ever will be again. But not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, 'Get out, you and all the people who follow you, and after that I will go out.' And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Pharaoh will not listen to you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt.' Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go out of the land. Praise the Lord for his word. So what is the plague that's coming? What's the warning? What's the plague? It's death. It's death. Who's going to die? The firstborn of whom? Everybody. Now notice that even Moses says, every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. This is verse 5. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill. Who are the slaves? It's the Israelites. Now God does say he's going to make a distinction between the people, doesn't he? But we're going to speed up the story a little bit. How does that distinction made? In some of the other plagues, the distinction was made because God just didn't put it onto the Israelites. So in the other plagues, like darkness, for example, it's darkness, a darkness to be felt. We talked about that last week. That's on all the Egyptians, except the Israelites, there's not darkness. But on this one, they have to do something. And what they're going to have to do is called the Passover. And they have to take a lamb and they have to butcher the lamb. They kill the lamb, they take the blood, they put it over the doorpost. We're going to talk about this next week, the kind of mechanics of it. And then God will pass over them. But what happens, if there is no blood? Death will happen. The mark, even on the Israelite people, is that they are covered by the blood. Because the judgment, ready, is for everyone. It's for everyone. So if the Israelites don't respond and believe what God says through Moses and doesn't do what he does, what he says to do, then what's going to happen to them? The judgment. So how does God make a distinction in this plague between his people and the Egyptians? They're marked by the blood. That's the distinction. Now here's the problem. This is what I want to point out to you. Moses, there's this funny thing about this jewelry, right? Hey, jewelry's fun, by the way. It's almost Mother's Day. Just throwing that out. Okay, jewelry, good thing. What does God say to do? Ask them for jewelry. Now, does God need? God made frogs come out of nowhere, locusts, darkness, gnats, flies, boils, snakes out of staffs, water to blood. Does God need jewelry? No. He does not. Could he make gold just appear? Sure he could, right? If he can make frogs just sort of come out of pots, he can make gold come out of anything. Does he need the jewelry? Why does he tell the people to get the jewelry? Why do you think? Restitution, maybe, because it's been slavery for a long time. They could sell it later on. What did the idols need? Do idols need gold? Yeah. You got to buy them off. If you buy off the idol, they'll stop. And so, the Lord's kind of, almost jokingly, try what you try. You tried everybody else. You prayed to the frog god, frog came. You prayed to the locust god, locust came. You prayed to the sun god, I blotted out the sun. See if you can buy me off. Give your gold to the people. Maybe if I give all this jewelry, maybe that will stop it. But we don't have to obey. We don't have to let you go. Let's give you the jewelry. And so it's really touching on the Egyptian's heart. Because the very next thing that's going to happen is a response to the last plague. And if the Israelites say, well, we have gold now, so we don't have to kill this sheep and like put the blood, that's gross. We've got gold. We're fine. If they do that, what's going to happen to the Israelites? They'll be judged. If the Egyptians don't put blood on their doorposts, what will happen to them? They'll be judged. But they gave their money. God doesn't care about your money. He cares about your heart. How could the Egyptians be saved from this last plague? How? By also putting on the blood. And if they do that, that means they have to join the people. They have to humble themselves. And instead of saying, we're the greatest world power that's ever been, we got this figured out, instead they're going to say, we recognize that your God is God. We'll join you. What do we got to do? which at this time period is going to look like circumcision. It's going to look like coming to the people. You got to make yourself go from previous owner, sinner, proud in yourself, to identifying with the slaves. You got to go join their houses. You got to put blood over your doorpost. You got to trust the God who's the creator more than you're going to trust your money to get you out of it. And they give their money, but they're not going to give themselves. And this is a great challenge that happens here, because we read it twice, that the Lord gave favor to the sight of the Egyptian, of his people, to the Egyptians. Moreover than that, the man Moses, he was very great in the land of Egypt and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. So he's very great, and they believe what he says. Whoa, God's going to do this. This is bad, but we'll be fine, because they don't put any blood over their doorpost. And so here we have this distinction that's made between the people of Israel and the people of Egypt. And it's not just, ready for this? This is really important. It's not just ethnic. It's not just ethnic. It's not that there's ethnic Hebrew people and the Lord protects them, and then there's Egyptian people and they're different in ethnicity. Instead, it's believing and having faith. And if you trust God and you respond to that with your life by following what he said to do and put the blood over your doorpost and trust him that what he said is true, then you're covered from the judgment. Believing becomes now the mark of what God's people really look like. Because even if the Hebrews don't, if they don't believe, and in their unbelief they don't put the blood, the judgment's going to come to their house too. And this is a really important distinction that's now happening in the book of Exodus that's leading us to Jesus. Because when Jesus comes, we're again covered by the blood. How are we covered by the blood in Jesus? Well, he dies for us on the cross. His blood is shed for us. And his blood purchases us, the Bible says, from our slavery to sin. And instead of our blood being shed, his is shed. He raises to life. We believe in him. And then we become part of him. But what's the mark of becoming part of the people? The mark is believing. The mark is faith. The mark is following. The mark is trusting. The mark is walking away from your old life and coming to him and saying, Lord, I trust you. And if we try to come to Jesus and buy him off with our gold, it doesn't work. If we come to Jesus and say, well, I'm an American, so I mean, we're pretty great. Our world's pretty great. Like, look at all these other nations. We're probably the best one. The Egyptians had that same thing. Their pride in their nation doesn't help them. Instead, to come to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Cover me with your blood. I trust you that when the judgment comes, you will cover me. And this now becomes the mark of the people of God. It's not just ethnic. It's faith. And we see that here. We also see that the Egyptians reject ultimately what God says. Now, does God harden Pharaoh's heart? Yes, he does. It says that. But also, the people are not. They're willing to give their money. They will not give themselves. And so there's a difference between the people of God and the people of Egypt. Now, we're going to see this come to a head again at Sinai when the people worship the golden calf. Because that same question is going to come up. Do you follow God? Or are you going to follow what you want to do? And there's even Hebrews who, they remember, they saw the blood on the doorpost. They heard the cries in the night, and they say, you know what? We'll follow the idol. What? How could they do that? Because the mark of the people is believing. It's following him. And if we don't walk in that belief, then we walk into judgment. So how do we pray for people? How do we pray for our girls? How do we pray for our granddaughters? How do we pray for our family? How do we pray for our neighbors? How do we pray for our best friends? Lord, let the eyes of their hearts be open, that they would see you and believe in you and know you and walk in you, that they might escape any judgment that would come. And here's the great news too. If you're covered by the blood, the favor of God is on you, not just to get silver and gold and things, but to be exempt from any of that judgment because Christ took it for us, and to walk in him and know grace. What a great heritage we have. What a blessing. So let me pray for you today. We're going to end a little bit early. We've got to get to McDonald's. Let's pray, and I want to just remind you this. The Lord is just in all he does. He's just in all he does. He has good judgments, and he is merciful. He is long-suffering. He is slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast love. If you have been walking into unbelief, then come before him and say, Lord, forgive me. And he is quick to forgive us and hold us to himself. If you have been trusting other things other than him and his blood and his resurrection, let it go. Because the gold, the silver, the national status, the family heritage, whatever, none of that matters in his sight. Only being in Jesus. So let me pray for you and you can know he hears you and sees you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all of us here. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to honor you. Father, let disbelief and unbelief and doubting be rid out of our hearts, Lord. Instead, Lord, help us to see you and know you and walk in you. And Father, I pray that you would cause faith to build up in us. Lord, I ask you that you would help us to never put our trust in anything but you. And Lord, I ask you for great favor. I ask you for great favor that gold and silver jewelry would be given to us so that we can be wise in who we also give it to, whether organizations or the church or whatever, that, Lord, we can be rich in what we do to help people and help our world and to proclaim your gospel, Lord. But, Father, as we see this in this story, Lord, it's your blood over us. It is your blood over us that means everything. And so, Lord, we submit ourselves to you. We ask you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let us walk in your way and know you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Enjoy your lunch. We'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.